Please sit down. Well, good morning to you all. As we continue to meditate as a church on the attributes of God, we deal with the faithfulness of God, the attribute of God's faithfulness. And I have a short verse that says a whole lot. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For, a very important word here, for, gar, he cannot disown himself. The essence of Christian faith is found in that statement. He cannot disown himself. That is why he is faithful, even when we are faithless. Can we pray, please? Father, I pray that you will glorify your power and your glory, even in the foolishness that the world thinks is preaching. O Lord, even where I am weak, may the glory and the power of infinity be manifested through your word. For Christ's sake, amen. We're looking at the attribute of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God is absolutely and unchangeably faithful. In our text, we're told that God remains faithful even when everyone else is faithless. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. We just sang that song, Faithful One, So Unchanging. This is the God that we worship, a faithful God. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you here are probably wondering why we're looking at something that we know so well. We know God is faithful. The Bible teaches it. We just sang about it. We all understand what it means that God is faithful. Why spend an entire sermon preaching on the faithfulness of God? You may say, you're going to tell me stuff I know already. I hate it when people say that. How many of you this morning have a clear grasp of the personal implication of the faithfulness of God for your life? I don't. I'm only slowly in my life beginning to grasp this. So today I'm going to try to explain what the faithfulness of God is and why we need to know about it. If you understand what I'm going to say this morning, truly grasp what I'm going to say, I say this without any arrogance to me because I know I'm a nothing, but I say this in the authority of God's word. You will realize the key mechanism to saving faith. Get what I'm going to say this morning and you will understand the faith of Abraham. And you've got to do that to be saved. Okay, what does faithfulness actually mean? If I'm a faithful church member, or if you're a faithful Christian, what does that actually mean? To be faithful means to be totally committed to something. To stick to your guns, as it were. To hold on to what you've said you would do to the bitter end. That's faithfulness. If you stand with your husband, ladies, through thick and thin, better and worse to the bitter end, people will say you're a faithful wife. If you support your football team, even when they've lost every match of the season, and you're still cheering for them in the last match, people will say, wow, you're a faithful supporter. Faithfulness means to be loyal and and committed, come what may. And God is faithful. Now we get that much, but there's more to it than that. We now need to go on and ask ourselves, okay, God is faithful, but what is God faithful to? When you're faithful, you're always faithful to something. Faithfulness has an object. It must latch on to something. If I'm a faithful church member, I'm faithful to the church. If I'm a faithful husband, I'm faithful to my wife. If I'm a faithful employee, I am faithful to my employer. What is it that God is faithful to? This is important now. What is God faithful to? You may be surprised. God is infinitely faithful to himself. God remains faithful even when we are faithless, because it's impossible for him to deny himself. The causal clause, or the reason clause, for gar in the original language tells us that it's because God cannot deny himself that he remains faithful, come what may. In that statement, we have the very mechanism of Christian faith. We have here that which Abraham realized, that made him believe the promise of a son and made him accounted righteous before God. It's essential that we understand what I'm going to share. Okay. How is God faithful to himself? What does it mean? I mean, it sounds a bit redundant, faithful to yourself. Let me start at the beginning. What I'm saying is important. Please stick with me. Even if you didn't have breakfast this morning, stick with me. It will pay off if the Spirit is with me this morning. Before the world ever existed, before there was a heaven and an earth, when God alone existed in eternal glory, and there was nothing else, God drew out a blueprint. God had a plan. Before he created anything, he made what theologians call an eternal decree. He drew out a plan, and everything that unfolds in time unfolds only because God had decreed it at the beginning. Nothing can happen but as a result of God's eternal decree. You've got to get this to understand the faithfulness of God, so bear with me. It's put this way in the Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689. Listen to this. God has decreed in himself from all eternity the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, and freely and unchangeably ordained all things whatsoever that come to pass. This world is moving in time according to a schedule. This world was planned. It has a purpose. It has a telos, a goal. God in eternity set out a plan, and everything that now happens in time is happening according to his eternal decree. God right now, according to Romans 8:28, is working all things in conformity with his ultimate purpose. Let me give you the words of God himself that make this statement. Isaiah 46:10. I, God, make known the end from the beginning, I say my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. Psalm 33:11. The plans of the Lord stand forever. The purposes of God work everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Ephesians 1:11. You see, God has made a plan in heaven. And right now, he's bringing it to pass upon the earth, day by day, hour by hour, second by second. Do you realize that is why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Everything that happens on earth, everything down to the dust molecules, is the unfolding of God's heavenly decree. Nothing in this earth can happen without it having been first decreed in heaven. Now, you may say, okay, God is faithful. What does it mean? It means this. God is totally committed to bringing into being everything he planned before he created anything. He is faithful to his blueprint in absolute detail. If God decreed before time a certain thing would happen in a certain place, in a certain way, he is faithful to ensure it happens exactly as he has decreed. What he has decreed to do before time, he makes beautiful in his own time. He cannot deny himself. He must faithfully bring about his word spoken before time into being. So when we say God is faithful, what we're saying is God will bring to pass what he decreed would come to pass. Right, that's the heavy stuff. Are you all still with me? Really? Okay. Now you may say, okay, I get generally what you're saying. I understand this. Yes, God's faithful, and ultimately, because he's the only one that truly exists in that sense, he must be faithful to himself, and he cannot deny himself. Okay, I get that. But what has this information got to do with me in my boring, everyday, mundane life? Why must I learn the faithfulness of God? Why? What's the practical ramification of this knowledge? Let me make it very clear. Unless you believe in the faithfulness of God, unless you believe in the faithfulness of God, you will not be able to know gospel faith. Let me tell you why. The gospel tells us we are saved by faith. But what is faith? Please just follow this through. Let's just not be glib and just say things that are words. What is faith? Faith is an absolute trust in the faithfulness of God. Faith says, if God said that from his heavenly perspective, and God cannot deny himself, then on that ground, what he said, no matter how crazy it sounds, must come to pass. Faith. Oh, let me put it this way. You've got to believe in the faithfulness of God to have faith in God. Does that make sense? The word in the original language, faith, is pistis. God's faithfulness is pistiosis. And they always work in tandem together. Now, having said that, I've given you the heavy stuff. Now we'll come to the pictures. We read just now the example of Abraham in the book of Genesis. And we read that God declared him righteous. God accepted him as righteous because he believed and had faith in his promised that he would have a son. Abraham took God at his word that he would have a son, even though he was a very elderly man, and his wife Sarah had never had children and was barren and couldn't have children. Why did Abraham believe God? It was against common sense that that child would be born, wasn't it? He knew his friends would all think he was crazy when they saw him knitting cardigans and baby clothes and making cots. He knew, he wasn't stupid, he knew that people of that age don't reproduce, and a barren wife who's never has children cannot now reproduce in late life. What made him believe? Did he just believe because he was gullible? He believed because he knew God, who is faithful. His reasoning probably went something like this. Hey, my body, well, it says this in the book of Romans, my body's as good as dead. Well, I've got one foot in the grave, right? I'm pretty elderly. My wife has never had children and never, well, you know, very unlikely to have them. But God cannot deny himself. And if he speaks his word from heaven, what he says in heaven has to take place on earth. So on the grounds of God's faithfulness, I put my faith in God. I will have a child. Not because it makes biological sense, but because what God says in heaven must take place on earth, because God cannot deny himself. By his nature, what he's spoken in heaven must be fulfilled on earth. He's faithful to himself. Do you have this faith in God? You know, we can be so glib about that word. When I first became a Christian, and everyone was telling me you've got to have faith to be saved, I remember trying to work up a certain emotion. Did you do that? You've got to feel a certain way. You get tingling in your fingers and you know you've got faith. Or you suddenly see the curtains moving slightly. Ooh, I've got faith now. You feel the atmosphere. No, listen, you can work yourself into a frenzy. That's not faith. Faith is knowing he who is faithful. That is why you can't practice Christian faith unless you first know by experience in your heart, by the Spirit's induction, him who is faithful. You can't have faith in God unless you know the God of faithfulness. That's why you must be born again before you can practice faith, and not vice versa. And this brings me to my challenge. In the Gospel, in Mark 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the Gospel, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But negatively, whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now my question to you is this. Why is Jesus so hard on non-believers? What's so terrible about not believing the gospel? Why is it a mortal sin to not believe? I mean, I can understand people being condemned by God for the sins they've done on Judgment Day, but why are people to be condemned just because they don't believe what they're told? What is so terrible? What's so worthy of condemnation about not believing the gospel? Listen, if I told you, and I know I've got to face it, you've got to believe, but if I told you that I'd met the Prime Minister, Theresa May in Eltham, in Lidl's on Friday, and you didn't believe me, I wouldn't be upset about it. I'd say, well, that's your problem. You don't believe me, tough. There are many things that people have told me and I haven't been able to believe what they said, but it's no big deal not to believe. You know, sometimes you say, well, look, you've got to prove it before I'll take that, you know, at face value. But what's so terrible about not believing God? God is faithful. It's an attribute of his essential being. God is unable to deny himself. And therefore, if you cannot believe what God has said, you're not just believing what he's told you, you're not believing him. To not believe the word of God is to call the God who is truth itself liar. The absolute blasphemy. It's a denial of the essence of God. The great sin in the Garden of Eden that Satan committed when he tempted Adam and Eve, what was it? Has God said? Did he really say you mustn't eat of every fruit? No, I didn't mean that. You can't take it that serious. You can't be that literal. The word of God, which is God himself, was undermined, and there it all began. You see, to doubt God's word is not only to call into question what God has said, but also to call into question who and what God is. God is essentially, not attributively, it's not just an adjective I'm adding on. God is essentially faithfulness. God cannot, in his essence, disown himself. His word can never return, Isaiah says, to him void or empty. What God says in heaven must come to pass on earth, or God is not God. And that's the ground of Christian faith. This was the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham went something like this. And I believe God especially picked Abraham because he was a hopeless case. You know, God often picks the hopeless cases. In looking around me, I'm quite convinced of it. He picks the people that don't have much of a chance worldly-wise. And then he says, I'm going to show you what I can do when there's no hope for that guy. And Abraham's story was like this. He was an elderly man. We all know the birds and the bees don't apply to elderly people. Very, very, unless you happen to be Mick Jagger or something like that. Old people don't have babies. But not only that, to make it more complicated, Sarah had never had children. She was biologically incapable of conceiving. And yet Abraham believed with all his heart that he and Sarah would have a son, and that son would go on to reproduce many nations of believers. Why? On one gospel ground. God said it. And he's God. He cannot deny himself. He'll remain faithful even in a world of faithlessness. And if God said, I'm going to have a son, I will. That's that. His faith was based on faithfulness. And that is why it's essential that you know the faithfulness of God. Add another page here, but never mind. It's pretty much the same of the same stuff. Let me close with my challenge in light of what I've said. You might say, but you're telling us something we all know. My fear is that we sometimes as Christians put so much emphasis on the faith that we forget Christian faith is not essentially about our faith, but on he who is faithful. We preach God and the object of faith. We must never take faith subjectively. Keep your eyes focused on him who cannot lie. And you will believe like Abraham. Let's face it, we're living in a world of so much change, so much insecurity. Why do you, brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, believe without a doubt that your sins are forgiven? Why are you so sure that you're forgiven? Why are you so sure that Jesus is coming again and all will be well in the end? Why are you so sure of that? Is it because it's been scientifically proven to you? Do you have scientific evidence of anything you believe? I don't. Is it because it rationally makes sense and you've worked it out in your mind and says, well, actually, that, according to my intelligence, that's pretty plausible. Does the gospel make sense to you? Doesn't always make sense to me. But I say this, by God's grace, I'll lay down my life for what I believe. I'll give up everything for this because I know it's true. But how do I know it's true? The God of all faithfulness has spoken to my heart. And I know it's not about me. It's about him. He is faithful and he cannot lie. And he cannot deny himself. And if you know him who is faithful, you cannot but believe. His will be done on earth exactly as it's done in heaven. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to pray that you'll give us a vision again of faithful God. Your wonderful, immutable promises that can never be broken. We praise you for your decree, where you have spoken before time all that will come to pass. And in the fullness of time, you make all things beautiful. Thank you, God. I pray for those here today that don't, Lord, they may exercise emotional faith, but they haven't caught a glimpse of the faithful one. Please, God, give them a vision in their heart by your Spirit of he who cannot lie and he who has promised to bless those who trust him. In Jesus' name. We're going to...